Triple J, it's Veronica and Lewis.
That is Fear and Trembling on Triple J from Gang of Youth's second album, Go Farther in Lightness. It's our feature album. It's another dense, excellent, emotional, sort of intense and long album, 16 tracks. Frontman Dave joins you right now. How are you?
Hi, how you doing?
Where are you at the moment, Dave?
I'm back in New York City. I've been living here on the DL with my female life partner and our dog. So I spent the day at the pool today and that was fun.
So you've got your dog there, but I hear that you're moving to London. Is that right?
I mean, I've been sort of like meandering between the two. I was in London for, well, maybe 6 weeks, but I've been in New York here, you know, a little bit longer just because of, you know, romance and life stuff.
Yeah, well, yeah. I imagine putting this album together has, taken you away from dog and life partner for a while. So it's probably you owed some time. But that track we just played, Dave, Fear and Trembling, it's very stripped back. Starts off just you and, you know, a piano initially. Is that
ham-fisted tribute to Thunder Road, which is, you know, very thinly veiled, I think.
There's a few tributes to the on the album, which we're going to get to in a bit. But why Thunder Road? Why did that take you?
I'm Born to Run. There's 8 tracks that so distinctly and beautifully compartmentalize the experience of being, you know, in your late 20s in rundown New Jersey in the 70s. And I wanted to highlight the impact of that first track. There's no better opening track for any record lyrically or musically than Thunder Road. Everything that I believe about good songwriting is there encased in the song. And it was like a way for me to sort of recalibrate Gang of Youth's new Go Farther in Lightness period and contrast it with our sort of more Springsteen-oriented influence stuff prior to that. I'm pretty obsessive about opening tracks. I have like a penchant for, you know, trying to make the first one the biggest and brightest.
Huh. Do most of your song start out with just a piano line and you go from there?
Not necessarily. I mean, that was kind of where this record led for some subconscious reason, I think. I'm trying to steer myself away from being just overly and singularly guitar driven at this stage in my life. There's more adventure in trying to experiment with a whole bunch of different, you know, layers upon layers upon layers within indie rock rather than just resorting to straight up guitar and feedback and that kind of thing. You know, we went through that stage pretty early on in our career, and I think, I don't know, there's just something poignant about beginning a track with something like a piano or something like, you know, the strings or whatever.
Yeah, let's talk about the strings because they pop up a lot on the album. What's your background?
Yeah. My dad loves classical music. He's a classically trained opera singer. And having grown up in that environment, so deeply entrenched within the sonic landscape of classical music, everyone from Vivaldi to Puccini to Mozart to Massenet, I wanted to sort of subtly tribute my father in that way, but also tribute my heroes, Steve Reich, Philip Glass. Arranging strings is one of my secret passions that I wanted to not keep a secret anymore. And I just felt like, in terms of like the record's flow, in terms of like the currency of the record, as in like the chronology, it felt like a good way to section off parts of the record, because like lyrically and musically, I was so meticulous about it that the strings sort of served as their own pieces, but also reference various other pieces throughout the album.
Yeah, if you've been listening to the album all this week and enjoying it, you should definitely listen to it from start to finish, because it's a really interesting progression from these epic sort of original 7-minute tracks from Gang of Youth. But then there's sort of fun things like L'Imaginaire, which is a cover, pretty fun cover of Guns N' Roses.
Oh, you ruined it. You told everyone.
I don't know if, I think the secret was out, Dave.
Yeah, maybe. It's really interesting seeing people's faces when they hear that track, and then the rest of the time I spend with them, then trying to pick it and figure out what is so familiar about it. There's just kind of all sorts of things. There's a reference to a Clash lyric. There's a whole bunch of, you know, little small things. A lot of references to philosophers and psychoanalysts that I admire, writers that I care about. A lot of references to my dad, past Gang of Youth songs.
Weirdly, we have played the first track, Fear and Trembling, and the final track of the album, Say Yes to Life. You were saying the first track is a real thing for you. What about the final one? Is that like your placement
of it?
Absolutely,
yeah. It sort of always needs to feel, the final track always needs to feel like the end of a story without ending the story, if that makes sense. It needs to feel like it leads the record to a satisfying conclusion.
Yeah, well, it's interesting hearing the intros to your songs and hearing you talk about it now. They, you know, each song really seems to hold a very dear place to you.
I think that any song that we release needs to, in some way, speak to the heart of what we're about, what I'm about. Because if it doesn't, there's no point, you know. There's a part of me that still longs to be accepted and embraced and be considered cool. And then there's a whole other part of me that actually just wants to say what I have to say before the good Lord takes me. So I think I'm still running around with that tension. I don't know, I just want to ensure that every song has, in some way, some important esoteric or cathartic function to me.
Yeah, well, it's interesting hearing you say that, you know, each song needs to have a thing to say because, you know, your first album came from a place that you talked about a lot at the time. It had a you know, really strong narrative in a moment. But it sounded like the songwriting didn't come as easy for you initially this time. Was it harder to find the things to say that you wanted to talk about this time?
It was hard because I wasn't looking in the right places. I felt like I needed so much trauma, so much unnecessary stuff that served its purpose once, and you know, and I just had to look in the right places. You know, I had to recognize that perhaps I might be enough to make this valuable without all the lamenting ephemera, without all the cancer stuff. I just had to look inside myself and pull it out, and it sucked, but it happened. And then lo and behold, a record that I don't hate came out of it.
And it happened pretty quickly for you, did it?
Over the course of 2 years, I had like a year's worth of writer's block after Magnolia came out, because I sort of went through this stage of thinking that everything I would do would never matter. I would never matter. And I needed to do something more meaningful in my life. And then I was stumbling across the Brooklyn Bridge, which I can sort of see right now. Hmm. And I gazed out at the very same skyline I'm looking at right now, and I'd sort of had this nice moment of realizing all the fears inside of me are okay, and that vulnerability is okay. And we're all experiencing these, you know, these crises of faith daily. And so I wrote The Deeper Sides of Frank of Shadows out of that moment. And, you know, it took a while for the juices to get flowing, but I'm not very good at what I do, but I try really fucking hard. So.
That is so stupid. You just said that. You're ridiculously good at what you do. And actually, you're going to be heading out on tour. You're in New York, as you're saying, right now. But from the 31st of August, you're going to be in Brisbane. Two shows in Brisbane, Melbourne, Sydney, Hobart, Adelaide, and Frio. So what's going to happen with these Strings tracks live?
I don't know. I guess people are just going to have to wait and see.
Oh, okay.
One of those things, yeah. It might be completely disappointing, the lead up, but I don't know.
Do you play like a stringed instrument, or is it just the arranging?
No, I don't. I taught myself to arrange. I'm like a bit obsessive. If I like something or I mean something, I just get a bit obsessed with it. I suppose it's part of the psychosis of having ADHD or whatever. But yeah, I get very obsessed. So I over the course of 10 years, I taught myself how to arrange. I listen to a lot of, you know, like I said, the minimalist guys, Lamont Young, John Adams, Steve Reich, Phil Glass. And that's kind of how I acquired the knowledge to do it properly.
Yeah, actually, I mean, before we do let you go, particularly the start of this Achilles Come Down, very Philip Glassy and very enjoyable. Yeah.
If anyone wants to know, I'm referencing a Philip Glass piece, actually. If anyone's interested, there's a film that I love about Yukio Mishima, who's a Japanese writer. And there's a movie called Mishima, A Life in Four Chapters, and Philip Glass composed the soundtrack. He composed the score to that. And the very, very final piece is called Mishima Closing. You know, I'm sort of subtly referencing that, along with some other Baroque, you know, Bach-era pieces. But if anyone's interested, Mishima Closing is one of my favorite pieces of music.
I watched that on a date once. It was really intense.
Holy shit, that's a really hectic movie.
True story.
Wow. Actually, yeah. my girlfriend and I, the first book we ever read together, actually the night we met, I was reading a Mishima book, The Sailor Who Fell from Grace to the Sea, and we both read it together that first week we were dating. And I don't recommend it if you want to be happy, but I do recommend it if you want to think.
Okay.
Good to keep that in mind. Dave, always a pleasure. Congrats again. Go Father Enlighten Us. We're going to be featuring it for the rest of the week on Triple J, and you'll be able to catch them when they start off their tour at the end of August. Enjoy the rest of your time in New York and London and the dog.
I miss you guys. Bye.
We love you. Talk to you soon.
Triple J, it's Veronica and Lewis.